Find it be a bit much easier to just stay seated this morning. And let the brother continue. That was here. That was up here expounding. I just want to say I'm almost trembling this morning as I think about what God laid on Brother Melvin's heart. You don't really think about what the brother that shares before you might be sharing. I never think about it until you're here, and it just seems like it's really something the way God does that. It's really something the way, as we seek the Lord the last couple of weeks here, the last bit to find a piece for what He wants us to share. And there's just, we pray and we think about the needs in our own lives. And we wonder, what is it that God has for us? And so there's many different topics that come to our minds. And then a couple of days ago here, this last week, as I was meditating, just before I went to sleep, I was meditating on different subjects again, and it's like the Lord came and He laid this on my heart right before I went to sleep. And I didn't write it down or anything. Sometimes I do enjoy writing things down, but the next morning, and a lot of the next day or so, as I kept meditating, I could not remember what it was that God had laid on my heart that was so clear. And I didn't write it down, and I went through all the different ones, and I did not remember. But later on, God in His faithfulness brings that back to mind, what He had laid on my heart before I went to sleep. And it seemed like it goes so well with what Brother Melvin here was sharing about the light and our lives and the things we do. But if you would, this morning, it'd be a blessing, I think, if we would just stand. And maybe Brother John, did he go back? Maybe he's... I was thinking about singing, is it 585? There he is. Sorry, John, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Why don't we sing that song to go along with some of the thoughts I have here? with the scripture here in Ephesians, where it says, be ye therefore followers of God, to follow the path of Jesus. And while we're standing here this morning, I'm not sure if there's a day that there's been more theology, more concepts about God, more things being, more beliefs, you might say, more practices, more whatnot. One of the burdens on my heart this morning is that we do keep that somehow in all that we do, that the gospel continues to be a simple gospel. I'm not saying that we shouldn't study. I'm not down on people that know a lot more than I do in any way. We need all of those things. But somehow in it all, we do have a burden that this simple man can still live for God. Let's pray. Father, I think you know there's probably no one in this room more unqualified to share the things that you've laid on my heart here to share. I do pray, Father, that somehow these things can find more of their way into my life and all of our lives together. Father, what we have is very, very simple. And yet, Lord, it affects every area of our life. It affects our view of you and others. And I think it also affects our eternal destiny. So Lord, as we're together here, we feel our deep need of one so great as you. Our hearts truly are in awe as we think of trying to say things that represent who you are. And as we say things about you, Lord, we do tremble. But Lord, we pray that you would give us, that we can all leave here with something to work on in our lives with your help. We pray you would all give us aspiration in your grace and strength to pursue these simple things in our lives. And if we do, I think we shall not fail in any area, Lord. I think we shall abound more and more into your glorious image. So we're very grateful for the opportunity. Lord Jesus, we ask your cleansing. And we just ask you to be with us and help. God, and lead us here in this service. Thank you, Lord. You're with your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, a couple of things that come to mind that we do want to share is when we say God here today, we're meaning the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God and God the Father. And I'm not sure that we are going to be able to make that clear every time as we go. I couldn't help but think of the parable this morning, also of the 10 virgins, and we'll share a bit of that later. And it's easy for us to go through life and not always avail the opportunities that God gives us. But you know, the 10 virgins there, they had 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and they all had the exact same opportunities to gather oil. And once their time of being able to gather that oil was up, there was no more opportunity to gather oil. But the thing that came to my heart this morning that really was sobering to me is, you know, the bridegroom came, and five of them were prepared, and they went in with the bridegroom, and the door was shut. And you know, it's easy for us to think that when one door shuts, there's another that opens. And I think that was probably the case here. This one door was shut. But it was a door to eternal life that was shut. And the other door that did open was the door to eternal death, I'm afraid. And again, I need encouragement in my life to continue to avail the opportunities as God brings them. And that encouraged me as I considered that here this morning. Be ye imitators of God. Now, the word imitator, it sounds like a big word, but it's actually pretty simple, children. I think we all can do this. The concern, too, is this morning, as we start here, is it is important that we think rightly about God. It is important that as we seek God, that we have a desire to understand Him as He really is. I know there was much of my life, and God continues to, He changes, how can I say this? He helps righten our view of who He really is. It's a horrible thing, when we see, how can I say this, how can I put my thoughts into words here? When we think of the heathen and how they worship idols and things, they're serving God the way they see God. And so, and all that is said here today, I would like to preface this with also with the importance of us continuing to truly understand God and the way He truly is. Sometimes there's many concepts of God, and sometimes there's things believed about God that are not true. And may we always be open to God through His Word showing us who He is. I think that would be important. So as a foundation here this morning, I would like to read a scripture here in Genesis, so we'll just proceed here. Thank you for allowing me to share my heart here a bit in the opening here. But Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in His own image. And in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now, that's quite revealing to me about God Himself. How can it be, what is it that is in God that somehow He desired to make something in His image? How can I say this? He desired, you know, He made all the things He did, the trees and whatnot. But yet for the pinnacle of His creation, He wanted the pinnacle of His creation to be in His image, to be made. In other words, the Strong's uses the word image here. It uses the word resemblance. So we could say God created man in His own resemblance. I don't think, the way I understand it, it is more in our spirit and our soul and the way those things function than it is our body. I don't think that when we think of God, I used to think of this man that was just 10 times bigger than any other man. Well, I don't. God is a spirit, and I had many things to learn in that way. But when the Bible here says children and for us, when it says we're made in God's image, it doesn't mean that God has a human shape like we do. I don't believe. I believe that, but I do believe that most of everything else is made in resemblance to God in that way. And to me, that says a lot about God. I'm not sure if I can put all of my thoughts into words here properly, but think about God doing that. Think about that even being in the heart of God, that He wants to make us to resemble Him. It says a lot about God and what His intent and and the calling on our lives. I believe it says a lot. It lays a foundation for the holy calling that we have on our lives. And that's what we want to talk about here a bit today. I think each one of us, brothers and sisters, children, each one of us have a calling. It's a holy calling on our lives. It's a serious calling, and it's one of extreme importance. What could God ask of us that would be more important than us resembling Him? What in the universe could have more value than us resembling God? I'd like to just get into the scripture here again. In Ephesians 5:1, it says here, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Therefore, one translation says to be imitators of God. Imitators means to copy Him and to follow His example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. You know, the word imitate sounds like a big word, and it is a little bit. But you know, somehow it blessed me as I thought about not all of us are rocket scientists. Not all of us are real intelligent, and not all of us can create and make a lot of things. But I think every human being can copy what someone else does. And we see that a lot in our world today. You see people, they like a certain team, so everything in their room, everything in their car, everything they wear resembles a certain team. And we see that more and more. People have idols, and everything about their life resembles that idol. They try their best to be just like the person they're idolizing. And brothers and sisters, that is an amazing thing that God put in each one of us in our lives. That's something we all can do, and it's something we all desire to do. We desire to be part of something or someone that is bigger than we are. And it's amazing when you stop and study how God created us in that way. But God's heart is, if people can put all this time and effort and money into being just like the person they idolize, how much more freedom, brothers, and how much more zeal, how much more effort, how much more strength should we put into being followers of God, to imitating God? I think we should have the freedom to do that. No one else around us is real bashful to say, to let us know who they're representing and who they resemble. They're very bold with it. The colors of hair, and it just keeps getting more and more extreme. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us. This is not a rebuke today. This is an encouragement to my heart, first. But can we be a bit more bold? Can we have a bit clearer vision? Can we put forth a bit more effort? Can we simplify things a bit more? And can our vision and our goal and our heart be to copy, to imitate, to resemble, to produce a copy of, or to appear alike God? Now, I also thought about this earlier. We all know that we all know that it's blasphemy to think that we can ever be God. That is never in my thought as I say these things. But yet, there's things that God does that we cannot do. But there's things that God does that we can do. And those things that God does that we can do is what I'm talking about. There's things that God does that we can do. So today God is reminding us of our calling. And it's a calling to each one of us. It's a calling that I believe each one of us someday will give an account for. Did we follow God? Did we imitate God? Did we resemble God? Were we God-like? Were we godly? Is that something, brothers and sisters, that we're aspiring to do? To be like God, to follow His example, to imitate Him? I know it is. I know each one of you are. But I just want to encourage and strengthen it. I think it's important for the future of the church here that we don't have our aims set too low. Will we ever be just like God? I think God has help for us in every stage. And I think that we want to just continue to aspire that. But brothers and sisters, if we stop, if we focus on something different, if our goal is less than that, we can't help but we don't even really want to think about what the outcome of that will be. I just want us to continue to lift up our goal and our vision. And it's very practical, you know. We sit here and we have a mind. And as we sit here, and then people come to our mind. And it's very practical, you know, what is God thinking about this person? Can we think the same thoughts that God is? Jeremiah says, I know the thoughts I have about you. And I wish I could have the rest of that scripture memorized. But can we have the same thoughts about people? It affects every area of our life, brothers and sisters. It sounds like almost too simple of a message here to even share. But yet, when you think about it, it affects our walk. When I say walk, it affects the attitude in our heart. It affects every area of our life. And as we do that, I don't think we're all going to have a white shirt on or a gray one I don't think it's to that detail. But I'm talking about the virtues. I'm talking about the deeds that we do. I think you know what I'm talking about here. So to be an imitator, brothers and sisters and children, what does it mean to be an imitator? So why don't everyone put up their right hand? Can everybody put up their right hand? So that's what it is. Everybody, we all imitated. You all followed me in putting up your right hand to a degree. And brothers and sisters, it's really what an imitator is. An imitator does what he knows someone else would do in that situation. And brothers and sisters, I have failed many times at this. But if I could just share a few words. The value, the fullness, the experience that it adds to one's life to imitate God. I'm not sure how to put it into words. It brings so much to our life that as we're doing things we can, and I know I'm not up here because I've done this right, but as we're walking, as we're facing situations, a thought comes, what would God have me do? What would God do if He was here? How would God handle this? And hopefully we can find the grace to do what we think, what we know He would do. And you know, sometimes we probably imagine God would do something different than He does. We probably do. I know I've done that. I think, well, God would probably do this, so I do this. And later we find out that's not what God would have done. It was not right. It was wrong. And so we do that. But the goal here is, the goal here that I know that God wants us to think about today, I know that God wants to give us some prayerful thought and attention to. The goal is to imitate Him and to copy Him. And the goal is to think about the way we live our lives, the attitudes in my heart, the things that I say, the things I think, and all of those things. And do they resemble God? Are we reproducing in our lives what we can that is God, godly? You know, the other example that I couldn't help but bring, and it's a simple thing that we all do. We all can. So I have this receipt book here. And the paper is such that when I make a When I make a line here on this first paper, it copies through to the next paper. And it's a very simple, basic thing, but that's all that God's asking us to do. You know, when we walk down the street and there's someone there that is hungry or someone that needs something, or, you know, it goes on and on and on, and you all know that. And I just want to encourage us today to make that a standard in our life and a goal and a focus to be imitators of God, to be followers of God as dear children. And I know that's all of your goal. I'd just like to encourage us to press in and to do that. You know, I had to think of the word summon. I'm not sure, have any of you ever been summoned to court? In other words, if you're summoned to court and you don't appear in court, it just takes the next step. They're going to either come out and failure to appear, and it goes on. And I don't know all the steps, and I don't know that much about that. But the way this is worded here, be ye, therefore followers of God, it's a summon from God. It's saying, it's not, oh, whenever you feel like it or whatnot. God is summoning each one of us, and He's saying, imitate me. Be like I am. And it gives us practical direction like nothing else. We could stand up here for years and talk about all kind of practical things. But when we imitate God, it gives us practical direction on so many issues in life. It affects every issue in life. It really does. To imitate and copy God, we do need to know Him. We need to know Him personally. You know, if you're here today and you're holding out on God, you've never experienced God's divine love. You've never experienced His presence. I remember those days. Young people, if you're holding back, please. You have no idea how empty life is without God. It's almost not worth living. It's empty. If you're holding out on Him, you cannot copy God until you know Him, until you personally know Him. And I just want to encourage you today. God is speaking to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest that goes beyond any rest that you can comprehend. It's a rest. God has that for you. One of the challenges that we have when we think of imitating God is that we can't see Him. Now, it was kind of easy for you. It was kind of easy for you to put up your right hand because you watched me do it. But what about Eminem? Eminem probably had to think, okay, which hand is my right hand? So it's easy for us. We all see each other. That's maybe not a real good example. But the challenge we have, brothers and sisters, is we cannot physically see God. And so it's a lot easier to just not try to, by faith, find what His will is. It's a lot easier to just let our carnal natural thoughts and our carnal natural tendencies take the situation and do what we think is right in the situation. That's the easiest thing to do, because we don't have a physical example here that we can just do everything exactly the way they do. So even though this is a very simple elementary message, it is a high calling that is not always easy to do, brothers and sisters. It really isn't. Because it takes true, genuine faith. It takes a real understanding or genuine faith and believing that God is who He says He is and doing what He says. Now, the word summon, I jumped ahead of myself and I didn't finish it, but if you're summoned to court, please go. Don't fail to appear in court when you're summoned. It's to call, cite, or notify by authority to appear at a place specified, or to attend in person to some public duty, or both, as to summon a jury, to summon witnesses. You know, God summoned Abraham and instructed Abraham to follow him. In Genesis, he says, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And it was a very high calling. Abraham had no way of knowing what all God had in store for him. But he took the first step when God summoned him and said, "Abraham, leave. Follow me." And Abraham followed God. And think of all the places that God led Abraham. And Abraham had no way of knowing where all those places were going to be. But God was faithful to him. And God was a very faithful God in that way. So, summoned. If you're summoned to court, please appear. In the same way here, God is summoning us to follow him. Let us follow him with our hearts, wholeheartedly. I couldn't help but think of different things that are false. They look like they're the real thing, but they're not. I'm not sure why, but I just thought about it as I was preparing this. The last while, when I go somewhere and I see a flower, one of the first things I do is I go up and I ask my wife, "Is this a real flower, or is this an imitation?" You know. They've actually gotten pretty good at making flowers look like they're real when they're not. It's amazing because sometimes I pick up the leaf and I feel it and it's like, wow, it almost feels like it's fake, but it looks like it's alive. It's amazing. They've gotten really good at imitating and trying to fool people with making something look like it really isn't. But I had to think how important it is that we rightly represent God in that way. I had to think of Ahithophel. He was a counselor of King David. And he was a man greatly renowned for his keen discernment. When he gave David counsel, you look it through the years. When Ahithophel gave David counsel and advice, it was right on. It was amazing. The wisdom, and I'm not sure it was divine, the wisdom and the discernment that Ahithophel had was amazing. But when David left Jerusalem, Ahithophel joined with Absalom. And he was a counselor of King David, greatly renowned for his keen discernment and accuracy when it came to advising the king. During Absalom's revolt, he deserted David and supported Absalom. David sent his friend Hushai back to Absalom. Hushai is actually how it's pronounced, I'm sorry. David sent his friend Hushai back to Absalom in order to counteract the counsel of Ahithophel. Ahithophel had recommended an immediate attack on David's camp. At that point, he was weary and vulnerable, whereas Hushai suggested that the advice that Ahithophel was given was not good at this time, and he recommended delay while a larger army was assembled to counter David's alleged strength. Perversely, for the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel. Hushai's advice was accepted. Seeing that his good advice against David had not been followed due to Hushai's influence, Ahithophel apparently surmised that the revolt would fail, and he left the camp of Absalom at once. He returned to his native place, and after arranging his worldly affairs, hanged himself and was buried in the sepulcher of his fathers. Now, that's an interesting account to me, and as I thought of this earlier, as I put this passage in here, now I'm trying to figure out if it really fits here or not. But it's amazing to me. In a lot of ways, I feel like the Lord had someone there to misrepresent what was really right. And I had some other thoughts on that. I think I'm just going to let it go. That happens. Sometimes we're misunderstood. Sometimes things are misrepresented. I think we'll keep going here. You know, I'm sure each one of us here has taken someone by their word later to find out that we were taken advantage of. And it's easy to do. You know, sometimes we're misunderstood. We're falsely accused. It can be a challenge to find grace, sometimes to lay those things down. But it happens. But be always mindful of who we say we are and who we speak and live and resemble. Now, how do we imitate God? We do the same things that God does. We know there are, like I said, we know there's things that God does that we cannot do. But there are many things that He does that we can do. And so I just want to encourage us here. As like Jesus here, it says here, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." I think Melvin touched on some of these scriptures that say almost the same thing. Jesus' heart was, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." You know, that will seems to be a big one in this. The will seems to be a big one in the matter here that we're discussing today. And it's one that I continuously need God's help with. But the will, not my will, but thine be done. The will is a big one. One of the other things I have here is forethought in our actions. You know, I tend to be the type of person that I do something and think about it later. And it's not very wise to do that. I think it's hard for us to imitate God in that way. One of the other things that, you know, in my young walk, I used to see God as just this God that just went everywhere and doing all kind of things, and He's just moving here and there and just getting a lot accomplished. You know, as some years have went by, I don't see God that way anymore. God moves. But I think God moves at a slower pace many, many times than we realize. And if we're going to walk with God, we're not always going to be... He doesn't always move quite as fast as we think He does, brothers. That's been my experience. I think He sometimes moves at a little slower pace than we really want to move with Him on. And I think it's important that we give some thought to that. Forethought in our actions. There's great wisdom to not be rash in our actions. As Proverbs says, "Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth," it says. One other thing is to avoid rash judgments. Avoid rash judgments. It's easy. Most times, matters are judged without any effort being put into validating assumptions. And I don't think that's imitating God when we do that. I think we should try to avoid rash judgments as best we can. Even though everything looks that way, most times I find, as we look into matters like this in my own life and lives of others, most times those first judgments that we make without going and talking to a brother and finding out the facts, most times those first judgments are off. Most times there's information that is missing and it's not right. And we need to be really careful the way we make first judgments. We really do. Suffering long with others' shortcomings. 1 Thessalonians says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak. Be patient towards all men." One of the things that came to my mind was human misery. You know, we bless God that we got a little paper that was sharing about the starvation, possible starvation that people are facing. And brothers and sisters, I think God cares about human misery. You know, on the way here, I couldn't help but think about this as well. You know, God, when we walk with God, God sees this broken reed. Isn't that something? This reed that's broke right here. And God doesn't just stomp it down and tear it off. God actually sees that that's broke. And what does He do? He does everything He can to come along and try to do everything He can so that it grows back. Isn't that something? The fact that God, it doesn't sound real spiritual, but the fact that God even sees that the reed is broken is amazing to me. How does God even care about a broken reed? But God knows it's broken. and he cares about this broken reed, and he does everything he can to not completely break it off, but to put it back up and so it can mend. The Bible caring about human misery. The Bible said, "Whoso stops his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Steadfastness, not always changing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And brothers and sisters, our values here, the things that we've appreciated, the practical things that we have in our lives, our people are watching. And the fact that there's some steadfastness, that we're just not influenced by every new thing that comes from the world, that has really made an impact in our community, brothers and sisters. That is godly. That is following God. That is imitating God. When we can find a godly way to live, and it can be that way for the rest of our lives. We don't have to always be changing everything about our lives. Not everything always has to change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I'm not saying that I'm against more spiritual light and all of these things. But we've washed a lot of people, throw a lot of things away, and it's been shipwrecked for them. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Someone once said, all but God is changing day by day. But may His people not be changing. May His people not be changing with God. May they be steadfast with God Himself. May we as God's children bear more of His likeness in every area of our lives. Brothers and sisters, I think you hear my heart when it comes to, we could get very practical here. Again, what are we aiming for? What are our sights set on? Do we really believe that God will help us get to higher ground? Do we have our goals there? That is my heart. It is a most high calling. Philippians says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Literally, mind or think this. In other words, what he's saying here is, you think what Jesus thinks. Literally, you think what Jesus thinks. Thessalonians, that ye would walk worthy of God, who called you into His kingdom and glory. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1, 5 and 6. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now, I'm not real sure why I put those scripture in here. That might be out of place, but anyway. Second Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness in the work of faith with power. I feel like I didn't read that right. Let me try that again. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and all the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's just scripture after scripture, brothers and sisters, that would go along with us imitating God. And there's way more than this little mind here can ever bring to mind that could be said on this subject. I don't have it in me in any way. But there's more scripture here. That the name of our... Okay, I think I read that. Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The vocation. He calls it a vocation here. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's saying here, Paul's appealing to them, he's begging them to lead a life worthy of the divine calling which has been called, and with behavior that is a credit to the summons of God's service. Behavior that is a credit that lines up with how God has summoned us to live for Him. Colossians 1. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Excuse me here. I'm going to have to blow my nose. Sorry. Colossians 1:10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Someone once said, human nature is not fixed. And for this we should thank God day and night. We are all still capable of change. We can become something other than what we are. And that is encouraging. Human nature is not changed. We still have the opportunity to become something more like God than we are yet. And it is something that excites me to have the opportunity to do that. It's much needed in my life. You know, brothers and sisters, I've heard people at times say, oh, so-and-so is keeping me from walking with God or this or that or whatnot. But the truth of the matter is, nothing can keep us from having as much of God as we want. In fact, right now, each one of us are as close to God as we really want to be. Maybe we're not as close as we really want to be because we're aspiring to be closer. But yet, with the decisions, how can I say this? The decisions we've made, we've done with the choices we've made, have determined how close we are to God. And if we want to get closer to God, we need Him to help us with those choices so that we can get closer to Him and be more carefulness. Matthew says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is perfect. James 2:7. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which they are called? One of the things that we learn from the parable of the 10 virgins, one thing that tends to happen, many times we make the path, we make our calling easier. We don't put as much importance on it as we should. Can I say it that way? We take it for granted easier than we should. And credit for moral and spiritual virtues cannot be passed from one person to another. You know, just because someone else is imitating God, that doesn't work for us. We need to imitate God ourselves. Every one of us is responsible to buy and gather and acquire for ourselves. As Romans says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We are invited to come and buy what is necessary without money and without price. God has everything for us. He says here in Isaiah, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And ye that have no money, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and ye eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know, imitators of God. It is something that is encouraging to me. I hope it encourages you, and I hope we all leave here today, and that God will help us take our aim up just a bit higher, and that we would meditate more on God and His ways, and that we would bring that into more practical areas of our lives. That would be my heart. That would be my prayer, that God would help us do that. That God would help us imitate Him and follow Him and be more like Him. And if we do that, brothers and sisters, I think about the blessings that will be in each of our lives in the time to come. But it's not because of the blessings that we do it. It's actually the experience that we get when we walk with God, that when we draw close to Him, when we know Him. But it's something that we need to purpose to do. I'd just like to close here with this last sentence here to give us some thought. You know, God says what He does in His Word about sparrows. He said, not one falls to the ground that He doesn't know. And, we can say God gives every bird its food, but He doesn't throw it into the nest. The sparrow has to go out looking for it and find it. God provides it, but the sparrow needs to go. It's not all going to just drop in its nest. And that's the same way for us. God has many rich blessings for us, but we need to actively pursue and seek Him and follow Him. So, God bless you. With His help and with His grace and with His strength, may we continue to imitate Him and follow Him as best we can.